This month, the month of August, is going to be dedicated to prayer. You're going to hear a lot about prayer this month. And you have lots of opportunities for prayer this month. Today, I wanted to go over the subject or the part, one part of prayer, and talking about corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. What is corporate? What does that mean? Definition that I looked up is corporate, shared by all members of a group. Okay? Collective, jointly, together, combined, united. Corporate. And so, corporate prayer, prayer together, united in prayer, joined together in prayer over specific things that everybody is praying about, that everybody is working together, going to the Lord, and bringing these things before the Lord together. So, corporate prayer. So, why is corporate prayer important? And you should have a sheet in your bulletin. You can, I gave you some verses that we'll be looking at, and you can jot down some notes if you'd like. Why is corporate prayer important? Well, one thing, if you want to turn over to Acts chapter 2, it was important to the early church. Shouldn't it be important to us too? Are we supposed to change from what the early church did, what they saw was important? I think that we should really look and see the things that are important to the early church, and we should continue on in those things too. But one thing they were really saw as important was prayer. Acts 2:42 says they were continually devoting themselves, and here's a list here, but the one we're going to focus on is prayer. But they continually devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. To the prayers. It is important for them. They had that one on the list. It's something that they saw as important, as something that they needed to do, as they saw as important as what? Apostles' teaching. Just as important. Just as important as fellowshipping together. As to the breaking of the bread, the communion, they saw this just as important, that corporate prayer, praying together. The church needs this encouragement. That's why it's so important. We need this encouragement as we face life together, as we go through this life on a daily basis. We need to be together. We need that togetherness. And we need to have that encouragement. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." After they had prayed. When they had prayed, the Lord really started to work here. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had drawn closer to God, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. I think prayer, talking with God, bringing things before God, praying about things like, I imagine, speaking the word of God with boldness. If we pray about those things, do you think the Lord is going to withhold that from us? No. So many times, we want things, but what is one thing that we don't do? We don't ask. We might not ask. It says, why can't I get this? Or why can't this happen? Or why isn't God doing this? Well, maybe sometimes we're just not asking. We're just not committed to asking. And sometimes, bringing things to God, is it a one and done? No. Many times it's continually in prayer, asking, bringing those things before the Father. But our struggles in life are not to be faced alone. We think about the Great Commission. We're called to do the Great Commission. And that's not a one-man job, is it? That's a corporate job. That's a job that the church does together, to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. That's a job for the church. That's a job that takes everybody. So why is corporate prayer important? It's important to the early church. We need it for encouragement as we face life together. In this group prayer, this praying together, really, I believe, knits us together even farther and even deeper. In some of the results that I see here, a few of the results, and I think you have some verses there. Look at James 4:10 first. For James chapter 4, verse 10. Says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Shouldn't prayer, as we come before the Lord, humble us? Shouldn't it humble you before the Lord as you come before the throne of grace, as you come before the maker of the universe, as you come together, and as our church comes together before our Lord and our Savior, it produces humility, because we know we can't do it. We know that we cannot do it on our own. That's why we need to go to prayer. We need the Lord to work. Because I'm looking out here and I'm thinking, we're not going to do this on our own. Absolutely not. Not one person in here can do it on their own. That's why we need to go before the Lord, and we need to have that humility. Not the pride that we can do it, but the humility that we need the Lord to work in us and work through us. It also brings the results in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You want to flip over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I believe prayer brings about also with it thanksgiving. A thankful heart. No matter what happens, we know when we go to the Lord, he hears us. And thank you, Lord, for your answer, no matter what it is, because you know best. Thank you, Lord, that you know best. You know what is going to happen. And just like what was mentioned with our prayers going up and the Holy Spirit really interpreting it to the Father for us, thank you that you do that. Thank you that no matter what my heart attitude or what I'm thinking or the lack of knowledge, Lord, you're going to hear what's really needed, and you're going to answer that prayer. So thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. Since we're in the New Testament, let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 22 to 23. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Now, that doesn't necessarily have prayer in there, but I do believe coming together, praying together, does form unity. Working towards the same goal, like in anything, isn't it? If you're on a job and you and somebody else are working on a job to get it done, you're unified in that goal. If we as a church are working together, praying together, focused on those things that we are asking the Lord for, We are unified together. It automatically just brings unity to us. It unifies the body. As the Lord wants us to be unified, that they may be one just as we are one. We are one with the Father and the Son and one together. And really, oneness of the church is seen in Scripture. I mean, I'm not sure how much oneness you can get being called a body. I don't know about you. I like my body together as one. Don't you? I mean, if you have part of a body laying over there somewhere, that's not going to do you any good. But being together, unified, that's important. So unity. And also, with humility, thanksgiving, unity, the results that really this prayer praying together brings, really through it, it can also bring repentance. Look back at Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. He starts out, "Be gracious to me, O God," verse 1. "O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." You know, whenever we enter into prayer and praying to the Lord, dealing with sin, repentance is like automatic. I mean, really, it's one of the first things that comes. Like, you're talking to a holy God and I need to repent. I need to be clean before you. Lord, I need your forgiveness. For my sin is what? Ever before me. Against you, God, who I'm talking to, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. I think it brings about repentance. And that can go with personal prayer too, but just also corporately also. As we come before the Lord, I think about a lot of times men, you see in the Bible, praying for Israel, for the nation, in a group. Lord, we have sinned as a nation. Can we say today, as a church, we have sinned before God? Yeah, sure. Don't let pride enter in. Yes, we have sinned before the Lord. We have failed Him. We have fallen short as a body. That's true, because we're not perfect people, are we? So one way or another, yes, we have sinned. We have fallen short as a body. We don't like to hear that, do we? We don't like to hear that at all. But it's true. Absolutely, we have. So that's why it's important, but why do we need corporate prayer here at Guiding Grace Brethren Church? A few of these things might be the same, but I have a couple other different ones, I believe. But just specifically thinking about us, why do we need it here? Why do we need to pray together? Well, corporate prayer encourages. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Where life is hard, we face sicknesses, we face sin, we face death and brokenness. We face those things and we need each other. When we gather together with believers, with each other, we can encourage one another, build one another up. We can encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." I think that pretty much covers it. Encourage one another, build one another, just as you are doing. We need each other. We need to build each other up in prayer. Lift each other up in prayer. You know what? You can pray by yourself, personal prayer to the Lord, and you need to do that. But there's something about a brother or sister sitting across there in a chair across from you, praying specifically for you. Praying for maybe something that you've mentioned to the group or that you want prayer for, and they're praying for you. There's something about that that, what you say, is encouraging, is helpful, showing that they care, that they're in tune, that they're thinking about you. We need that encouragement. And so maybe it's just not for you. Maybe it's not something you need somebody to pray with for you, but maybe you're the one that needs to pray for somebody else. And you know what? You can't do it unless you're here. We can't do it unless we're here together. Maybe the Lord wants to use you to pray for that brother or sister. Maybe the Lord wants you, as you pray in your way, in your words, that brings encouragement and uplifting to that brother and sister that desperately needs it. You know, when we exclude ourselves from anything within the church, we exclude ourselves from a possible blessing, from possibly being used by the Lord to bless somebody else. Because guess what? Corporately, He can't use you unless you're not here. If you're not here, He can't use you. If you're not together, if we're not together, He can't use us in each other's lives in that way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. End of verse 5. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You know, when we're alone, when we're going through a hard time alone, we may feel deserted. We may feel forsaken. It's easier for us to slip into that depression and woe is me. But we need this encouragement together to encourage each other that, no, He will never desert you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you. And guess what? He's going to use me to help you. If I don't have my brothers and sisters around me, I don't get that. I have faith. I know what God's word says. But if I go through something alone, that's a lot tougher than having some people around me that are helping me through whatever it may be. And that truly shows us God's not going to forsake you. God's not going to desert you. Look who He's put around you. Look at the faithful men and women who He's put around you. But again, if you're not here, if you're not together, it's a lot harder, isn't it? It's a lot harder to see that. Since we're in Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Our Savior can sympathize. He knows our weakness. He knows our weakness. As I'm talking about corporate prayer, our weakness of seeing it as important. Is it important? Is it something I really need to be involved with? There's something I need to do. Spiritual weakness could be physical weakness. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Very weak. I can tell you what, there's been many times when I have thought, you know, just specifically back in the past, Wednesday prayer meeting, it'd be so much easier to stay home and rest. I'm home from work. You're busy. So much easier to stay home. But every time I went, what happened? I was blessed by the Lord. It never failed. Never failed. I never went there and thought, boy, I wish I didn't go. I never did. But our Savior can sympathize with our weaknesses, and we have to fight those weaknesses. And it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a struggle. You will have to fight and struggle this month. Guaranteed it. I'm going to make it hard for you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a struggle. Give me a fight and a struggle for me, too. Guaranteed it. Let's move on because of time. We have some other things that we need to do. But corporate prayer disciples. You can look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, but basically Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. And you know what? When young believers listen to prayers of the mature and faithful, their faith grows. I learned a lot about prayer by sitting there and listening to old saints in the prayer, in the church pray at prayer meeting. I learned a lot about prayer. Maybe even if you are not here, you take away that opportunity to be used to help another one learn how to pray more. Learn how to pray. Learn how to communicate with God. It's actually pretty easy. You know, it seems like it's something that we need to practice and we need to work on. Especially when you're sitting there and you're praying and everybody's listening to you. It's a little different than personal prayer. But we need that. We need that growth and an opportunity for growth. Because corporate prayer forms in us the habit of prayer. Scheduling times to pray with others makes us more consistent in acknowledging that we are weak and God is strong. Continually acknowledging that. Why do we have to come together and pray and pray and pray? Because yes, we are weak. God is strong. We need Him. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I thought this was interesting. Let's see. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 9. I think this is a good thing to think about here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Do you think God thinks being together is important? Being more than just you. Not just you, but having others with you. Absolutely. It's very, very important. So I have to ask this question, why not? Why not? Why not get together? Why not pray together more? Why not do that? Any reasons? Any reasons? I can give you reasons. You gave them a few weeks ago. Here are the reasons that we will see that this will be our excuses for not getting together. This will be our excuses. And it really kind of hits on everything. You remember trust? Lack of trust? Truly, do you trust the Lord in this? Do you trust Him for providing for you? Do you trust Him in that, I'm giving up a little bit of time, and are you going to trust Him with that? Your flesh, your sin nature will come into play. Busyness will definitely come into play. Yeah. That's going to be one of those things that you're going to be very, very busy, and it's going to come into play. Laziness. Who in here can be lazy? Absolutely. That's an easy one. But yeah, that can come into play. Now, I'm not saying this, that I'm listing things because I think that this is you. But just remember, these are the things that you guys listed, that we listed together. So we understand this, right? So trust, flesh, busyness, laziness, selfishness, I want my time, pride, maybe I don't need to go, I don't need that, priorities, what is a priority, where are your priorities, value in it, do you see the value, maybe you don't see the value in it, maybe it's just not something that's valuable to you. So, we need to think and think about those who had made it a priority. Turn back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, Mary, Mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Continually devoting themselves to prayer. In 2:42, we already saw, they were continually devoting themselves to, here's the list, Paul's teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Continually devoting themselves. Common word there, what is it? What's the common word you heard in those two verses? Huh? Continually, what? Devoting. Devoting. Okay. Devoted, persist, persevere in, continue steadfast in. That's what they were doing. They were persevering in it. It does take perseverance. Continually devoting themselves. And that's what we need to do. In all aspects of Christian walk, continually devoting ourselves. And we do a good job with many things. But there's an opportunity that we have that we can devote ourselves to prayer. Did anybody look at their calendar? Did you see anything on the calendar that's going to be happening this month? If you look, actually it's going to start today, but if you look every day during the week, Monday through Friday, we will be here. 6:30, here, Monday through Friday, continually devoting ourselves to prayer. Now, at the beginning, I had you raise your hands, you thought prayer was important. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to devote yourselves to prayer. And I have to say that it could be tough. And I have to tell you right now, I know one day I won't be here already. But it's not that I'm not going to be praying, but we will not be here. It's even going to be this week. We have a commitment with Reuben and his school that I don't think we'll be here for that. But, and we understand that, right? Some things you have to do. But are you going to be consistent? Are you going to be, you know, a character? Your character is to be here, to be together, to come together and pray. That's our challenge for this month. And I said this month is going to be a month of prayer. We have three more sermons on prayer this month. And as we were thinking and talking, and you know, prayer is very important. And I think the Lord can do great things through us. But first we need to go to Him in prayer. We need to go to Him. And this month, let's go ahead. Boys, come up here. I want to have you hand these out. This is our prayer sheet for this month. Now, not that it can't change, but these are things that we're going to pray about for our church. Now, this part of corporate prayer and this prayer meetings, it's not going to be about you know, my hangnail, or it's not going to be about my physical ailments that I'm having. This is about our church. So if you look at that, as I read down through here, these are things that we're going to be specifically praying for our church body together, focusing on our church. First off, is God's will to be done in this church here. We want to be in God's will. We want to do what God wants to do. This is our prayer for our church. We're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on spiritual growth in prayer. Lord, teach us as we come to pray to you, teach us to pray better. Teach us to pray more. This discipling process, things like that have to do with the church. Our prayer, our discipling process, you know, anything that has to do with the spiritual part of our church, we need to pray for. We want to pray for those who have left our body, who are no longer coming here. We want to pray for them. We want to pray that if it's God's will, they may come back and be part of us. Pray that the Lord would work, you know, whatever it is, work that out. Because I believe that we may have people out there who really should be a part of this body who are not here. We need to pray that the Lord would bring them back. Reestablish. Bring back the relationship and that part of the body. If it's His will, if that's what He wants done. For our boldness as we share the gospel together. We need to pray for our church to do that. For our church attendance. That we'll be steady and faithful. Steady and faithful as a church together, to come together, to be together. Pray that we'll be steady and faithful the whole month long. Lord, help us to stay steady. Pray for our outreaches, our fruit from our outreaches. Concentrated on praying for that fruit. For leadership development. Developing leaders within our church. People that God can use to lead and direct and to lead different areas of our church. That the pastors can't do everything, but we need people, God, to raise up godly people that want to serve Him in all sorts of areas. Maybe areas that we don't even know about that God has for us down the road. Pray for that. And lastly, for not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I think that was important last week. We heard this is an opportunity not just to be a hearer today, but a doer. Somebody who does. Somebody who is willing to actually do the work. Do what God has called us to do. So it's a challenge. It's a big challenge for us this month. And to be together to pray, I believe is very important. And this is not something that is never done. Other churches do this. So we're not alone. But we need to be committed. So are you going to be committed this month? Are you going to be committed to this? As much as you can. As much as you can. If you don't miss a day, great. But as much as you can, commit to it. Make it something that you're just going to do this month. And also notice that Wednesdays, you'll have regular Bible study and prayer. That'll be part of it. But also, His Kids is starting up. So parents, His Kids. So have them here on Wednesday nights for that. And also, stay as you pray, but we'll see what happens. See what the Lord lays on our heart. Has the Lord worked in your heart and your commitment to Him? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon that, and we ask that you would lead us and direct us. And Lord, help us through this time. In order to be days that will be difficult, days that we may not even feel like being around each other. I don't want to even go. I just don't feel like being around people right now. Lord, that could come up. Well, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, that you would help us fight against what the devil will throw at us. And this will be a very worrisome thing for Satan, because he does not like when your people come together to pray. And Lord, I just ask your protection, for your grace, and that you would encourage us through this month, through this process, that we would just honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.